End up this morning, but never got there, but that's okay. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. How many people have the fruit of the Spirit on your wall somewhere, written down, a reminder? Right? Isn't it good? I think Victoria Wright made up in the teen room, she did this art with palettes, and she has the fruit of the Spirit listed there in the teen room. It's so good. And it's, I could say, right, you could read the fruit of the Spirit and say, yeah, I'd like that to be my experience in life. Right? I would like that to be true of me. And we can read them. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a great list, isn't it? Long suffering. What is long suffering? Long suffering, right? Yeah, patience. It's an interesting word, right? That you are suffering something and you can endure it for a long time. Why? Because you are quite the person? No, because the Holy Spirit is putting a quality of life in you, right? But you notice it starts with but, right? But the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that means there's something that is contrary, and he's coming from a different point. So let's back up to verse 16. We could say this verse, I think verse 16, you could say, could be like, if you would give anybody advice as a believer, this could be it, right? And if you could quickly say, what does it mean to be a victorious believer? You could say this would summarize it pretty quickly. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Remember last Sunday we went through Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8 Sunday morning, and talking about the struggle Paul had, right? The struggle that he had, the conflict he had, where there is things he wanted to do, but he didn't do them. And then there were things he didn't want to do, and he found himself doing those quite easily, right? And this conflict between these. And this is like a little idea of that, right? To fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, which is easy. Like the flesh goes that way. But there is an answer, and there is a way not to. And the way not to is not your self-control. It's not your ability not to do something, but it's your giving your life to God and submitting your life to the Holy Spirit. Like we said, in Romans chapter 7, it says 30-something times we see the word I or me. Right? I or me, 30-something times in Romans chapter 7. But then you get to Romans chapter 8, and it's a shift where you don't hear about I or me very much, but instead you hear about the Holy Spirit. 20-something times it mentions the Holy Spirit. And that shift, that change, is where I find victory, where I find strength, and where I find ability. Right? Isn't it comforting that nowhere in the Gospels, nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the epistles does it say, this is all on you? Right? Like Paul in Philippians 3 isn't saying, listen, I did it. I did it, guys, so now you guys have an example. Now you can go for it. Right? No, he's saying, I did it, according to the law, I did it, and then I considered all of that stuff loss. I gave it all away, that I might gain Christ. So walk in the Spirit so that you would not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. What does that mean, that word lusts? It's different. It's different than the lust of the flesh. But it means it's engaged in and it's battling. Right? There's conflict there. The one definition I saw years ago, and it's always stuck in my mind, is that it's like trench warfare. Right? Like it is close quarters combat, and it is trench warfare. And I always think of the Civil War. I think of the Battle of Gettysburg, and this, in particular on Little Round Top, and how close that battle was. Right? And this is happening internally, that the flesh and the spirit are just duking it out. Not there, and they are fighting for the authority in my life or the position in my life that would have prominence. And we could say that I've experienced this, right? Have you ever felt this battle? The flesh and the spirit fighting, right? And isn't that Romans 7? I want to do this, but I'm doing this, right? I don't want to do this. I want to do this, but I'm doing this, right? I find this difficult. So God never requires us to do it, right? Imagine if the Holy Spirit was just like another station we had to get to. He's like, if you get to this point, then it's going to be easy. But you got to get to this point. No. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us, and then he elevates us. In the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There it is. That's Romans 7 right there. Right? They are contrary to one another, so that you would not do the things that you wish. This isn't always blatantly bad, right? Like, we can look at things and we can say bad, right? Not good. We know in our own life, we know certain things, it's like, no, not good, not good. But then there are other things that could be like in a gray area, right? And we say, well, it's not really bad. But then we could say, well, is it God, though? Is it God? Like it says in James, he talks about bragging that I'll go here and I'll do this and I'll do business and then I'll do here and I'll do business. James says that's basically sin. What you should say is, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, then I'll do this and I'll do that, right? So it's not always blatantly bad. Even we could say in our church and in the body life that we have here, every night there's something happening in the church, right? Pretty much there's something happening every night. Which I love. I love it, right? I love it. If you want to learn English gooder, you come on Tuesday night and Marcia and the team are teaching English. Wednesday night we have our services and classes, Thursday night classes, Friday night we have Pastor Mike's doing the encounter series, Saturday we have outreach, Sunday here we are at church, right? So we have something happening. I could say I'm only a good church member if I'm at every event. It's true. Margaret is there, right? I could be striving to make sure I'm there every time, right? Is that, I don't know, I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's awesome. If you can be here at every event, hallelujah. I can't, but I love that I could, maybe, 1 week. But God, God could be saying, no, I have this for you. Or no, I have this for you. And I want my life to be in being led by God. I do. Oh my gosh, I do. There's so much happening. There are so many things to do, good things to do, that I want my steps to be led by God. Right? So that I could be glorifying him and that I could find myself in a healthy place. So just to say, like we have a lot of liberty. We have a lot of liberty in God. A lot of liberty. It's amazing. It's amazing. And we'll get to that in the end of the message. But we have so much liberty. We have so much freedom to do. But also we have a lot of freedom not to do. And that could be a liberating idea. But if you are, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There it is. If you were led by the Spirit, you were not under the law. What is the law? It means you have to do this. You cannot do this. Right? If you do this, you're good. If you don't do this, you're bad. If you do this, you're terrible. And here's how you get yourself out of it. Right? Like, this is the law. A lot of requirements, a lot of like insulation in a sense, like keeping you in line. But if we read through the Gospels, we did a study this week in the Gospels class. It was so much fun. Talking about what is a rabbi, how does one become a rabbi, and then when Jesus spoke in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, when he spoke about his yoke being easy and his burden being light, he really was addressing this point. Right? And he says, come learn of me. And he's saying that there are a lot of other rabbis, and these rabbis teach, and what these rabbis require is a heavy, heavy burden. where there is a lot you cannot do, and there's a little bit that you can do. And Jesus comes and he speaks to us and he says, come unto me, I have a different way of teaching, and I have a different thing to teach, and the result of my teaching is not that you are burdened, but instead the result of my teaching is that you have rest. Right? And like we said this morning, you know who you are, you know where you stand, and then you know where you're going. Right? Isn't that a good thing to know in a relationship, where you stand? That's why I love New England so much. You know where you stand with people, good or bad. They're not afraid to tell you. No, but it's good. I want to know where I stand. I don't want to live in this in between where I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I've done enough, God, or I think I have done too much bad, actually. So then I would keep my distance from God, or I would be like sheepish around God. But instead, God calls us. He says, come running boldly to the throne of grace. You have liberty. You have freedom. This is not law. Instead, this is an easy, easy yoke, because it's mostly Christ's work. Right? It's all Christ's work. So this is where our liberty is. We're not under the law. We are not under the law. And Paul here writing to the Galatians specifically, because there were Judaizers coming around saying, if you want to become a Christian, first you need to become Jewish. And then once you're Jewish, then you can become Christian. So Paul is coming behind that teaching saying, no, 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 no. There is no law. We're not talking about the law. We're talking about the liberty in Christ. So now in verse 19, he goes through the deeds or the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident. He could almost just leave it there, right? The works of the flesh are evident. We all know what they are. We see them mostly in other people, and other people see them in us. But they're evident. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions and heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? Those who practice such things, those who have a habitual life in them. But, right, this is where we see the fruit of the Spirit come in. But in contrast to those things, in opposition to those things, there is something else, and it is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And here is the line, against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. Like where does this kind of liberty come from? It comes from a relationship. Like there is no law in my relationship to Christ, that he has set me free and he has given me an easy yoke and then an easy burden, and he walks with me, right? To be yoked to Christ means that I am connected to him. The rabbi back in the Old Testament times, when Christ's time, what he is talking about is that you would become yoked to a rabbi. You would be connected to a rabbi, and you would follow his teaching. You would be his disciple, right? And they even said, like, if a rabbi, they were so connected to the rabbi, the teacher, that if he mispronounced a word, then they would mispronounce the word, right? That they wouldn't change it, and they would continue on that way. Right? But Jesus is saying, I'm not here to find outward conformity. I'm not here to put you in a little box where you have to follow the rules, but instead, I am here. You are yoked to me now, and now you are finding liberty. And in this yoke, we don't have bondage, but instead, in this yoke, we have liberty, and we have freedom. And that freedom is because of the relationship that we have with Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is coming from the relationship that we have. It's not coming from following a checklist. Have you ever, you could follow a checklist very easily, and it's cold, it's disconnected, it is not intimate. But when Christ, the way we walk with the Holy, being led by the Holy Spirit, like he says in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill. Not because you are not doing something, right? Like our idea is like, okay, I'm not going to do it. 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 I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Oh, wait, where'd the not go, right? Like you say it along, I am not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I am going to do it. Wait, what? What did I just say? If I am so obsessed about not doing something, I become so obsessed with that thing, and that's what I do, because it occupies my entire mind, right? Like in golf, golf is like the most mental game in the world, right? Golf psychology is a big thing, right? Yeah, golf psychology, right? You got a guy living down the street, and he's playing his club championship, right? He's paying thousands of dollars to go to a golf psychologist, right? Just so he can get his name on a plaque. No, but then in the tour, these guys, I mean, it's a mental game. If you've ever played golf, 80% mental, right? Maybe 90% mental. And then like, you know, 10, 20% you can do, you know, physically do it. But man, it's such a frustrating game. Oh my gosh. If you want to really see what someone is like in the flesh, go play golf with them. I guarantee you won't be impressed. You won't be impressed. It exposes everything. So does traffic. Similar thing, right? But they say in golf psychology, right, you step up to a shot and you have to picture, you got to picture your shot, right? So you want a positive mental image to be the last thing that you see, and then you hit the ball, right? So if you look at a hole and you see nothing but obstacles, most likely you're going to hit one of them. But if you step up and you see the middle of the fairway and that's what you concentrate on, then it's, you know, supposed to be that that's what you hit, right? But if you step up to a hole, it's like, all right, I got a lake on the left. I always hit it left. I got a sand trap on the right. I do that sometimes too. Short, I got to carry it 180 yards just to get over this marsh. Probably going to hit something there, right? And then I got a little tiny sliver of fairway in the middle. Then you step up there, and you might as well just go put the thing in the water. You might as well, right? So what am I thinking? Like I'm thinking, don't hit it in the water, don't hit it. And your brain is thinking, is hearing, hit it in the water, hit it in the water, hit it in the water, right? Like our walk with God is not this way. There is liberty. There is liberty. We are not thinking, I'm not doing this, but instead I'm walking with the Spirit and I am after the things of God and I am allowing Him to lead me in relationship. So now it's not about not doing something, but it's instead hearing God. And it's taking the next step in intimacy with Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me. Because I could say, Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And He says, that's fine. When you pick up the pieces, I'll be right here. Or we could say, Lord, this is what's in my heart. This is what's in my, but I want You to lead me. And He'll say, okay, come along with me. And as we walk with Him in relationship, these fruits start to pop out of our life. Like, it's not, the fruit of the Spirit is not this way where I'm just like, okay, I'm going to spend the week becoming more patient. I'm just going to meditate on being patient. Being patient, right? What happens? I'm going to be so impatient. Right? But instead, I want to be walking with Christ. And as He is leading me and building me as my good shepherd, then these things will become evident in my life, right? Because of nearness with Him. So against such, there is no law. Against the fruits of the Spirit, there is no law. Against the fruits of the flesh, there's a lot of law. That is what the law is about. It's about controlling this wild animal, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is different. There is no law. There is no restriction. There is no like brackets to keep you in. But there is liberty. When Jesus talks in the parable and He says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it, right? But narrow is the way that leads to righteousness, and few there be that find it. The deception is that this way is narrow, right? And even Jesus talks about it as narrow. But the reality is that it is the most broad place, isn't it? There is more liberty in the restriction of God than there is in the broadness of the world. This broad way leads to destruction. Right? Like the beginning of it is amazing. It's all about the entrance, and every step you take becomes more decrepit, right? And more oppressive, and more bondage. And then you find yourself in a very small place. But in God, we look at this narrow way, being one man, being Christ, and then when we step into the life of Christ, it is the most broad place. the most liberty, the most freedom. And there we have the fruits of the Spirit developed in our life. Right? So we said, we could take these things and like stick them to ourselves. Say, like, here's the fruit, right? Like, I'm taking all of these things and I'm just like going to stick them on me. And then there's the fruit, right? Cat bag. Is this originally yours, Beck? It is, right? It's like my co-pilot up here, this cat bag, right? And like I have all, isn't it precious? Love the cats. Okay. And we stick all these things to us, right? And it's like, it's okay, Lord, I'm fruitful. I'm good. But really, it's not mine, right? It's not happening in my life. But when Christ is working in us, the Holy Spirit is working in us, then these things happen. And I could be surprised by it, right? I could be surprised by it. In traffic, I could get through traffic and say, oh my gosh, right? My blood pressure didn't rise above whatever. Like self-control. Self-control is working. Right? God is working in me. Right? Isn't that a great way to live? Like being surprised by the work of God in your own life? Like, whoa, I think I was just patient. Wow. Or we could wake up and say, I think I have joy. Is this what joy feels like? I think so. It's February and I'm happy. It must be joy. It must be the work of the Holy Spirit, right? This is it. And then we just walk in it with great liberty. And we could say, isn't it, like people say with the grace message, they say a grace message is dangerous. People are going to feel like they're enabled to do whatever they want to do. Like they're going to be sinning more because you teach them that God is gracious. And I say, man, that's a hard place to be, that if I'm going to teach you the law to keep you in line, right? That's the last thing I want to do as a preacher, right? Or as a pastor. But instead, you have liberty. Isn't this the way it's supposed to be? That we are under shepherds and then there is a great shepherd and I want to introduce you to the great shepherd? And that you would then have the liberty to walk with God. And that you would have the freedom to go into the Word. And that you would have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that He would be leading you into the works of God. Right? That He has prepared for you. This is the way it is. Like we have a freedom in our faith that is unlike anything else. Galatians 5:1, he would say, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Stand fast. Don't give it up. Understand. Don't become subject to the law again. There is nothing in that. But instead, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, because He's the only one who could give you this freedom. Right? And He has given it to you completely. So there is no law in this. Now, okay, but then now what do we say to someone who says that grace message is dangerous because it just produces good sinners? Say, no, you haven't met the grace of God. You haven't really met God. Because he's not worried about my outward conformity. But He is after my heart. And when I really walk with Christ, He gets to my heart. And I don't become some automaton. But instead, I become someone who has a relationship with God and the fruits of the Spirit are coming out of my life. And now I find that I don't even think about sin. Maybe. I don't know, actually. That's a lie. But I'm working on it. No. No, isn't that where we want to be? No, it's not about sin. I'm not obsessed about sinning and not sinning. But I am instead enthralled with Christ. I'm overwhelmed with the reality of Him and the truth of the Spirit living in me. And how about that Romans 8:16? I love that verse these last couple of weeks. That He is constantly bearing witness that I am a child of God. Right? The Holy Spirit is constantly bearing witness to the human spirit that we are children of God. That's it. And that nearness to God gives me distance from sin. Not by my great effort. Yes, discipline. Yes. But that discipline even is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That self-control. Right? That patience, that goodness, that kindness. Be kind to yourself. How about that? Isn't that a good thing to do? Be kind to yourself. We beat ourselves up so much. I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I slept the whole day and didn't do a thing. Right? No. Be kind to yourself. But don't give yourself, right, not giving yourself, Peter says it, we don't use this liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Right? I don't use this liberty as a cloak to say, it's okay, I got liberty. I'm going to go have some liberty. No. Liberty is freedom in God. Liberty is not freedom in sin. So the grace message does not deliver us to sin, but the grace message delivers us to the goodness of God. And there we find a whole new value system. There we find a whole new way of thinking. And now I'm not calibrated to the sin nature. Like not adjusted to the sin nature, but now instead I'm adjusted to God through the Holy Spirit, and that's where my life is pleasing to God. Not because I am doing anything, but because I have submitted to Him. A.W. Tozier wrote an essay, it's called The Set of the Sail. Right? The Set of the Sail. And the idea is that there is the winds, right? The winds are constant, aren't they? Prevailing westerlies or whatever. Sailors know the different, that's the only one I know. I'm sure there's others, right? That there are constant currents and constants out there. And if you, it depends on what direction you go, depends on what sail, what wind you set your sail to, right? Or how do you set your sail? So if we say that the spirit, the flesh is a constant, and it is a constant air that is blowing and looking to take the energy, put its energy into the sail. But hallelujah, much more, Romans 5, there is the Holy Spirit, who is always speaking, always ministering, always like sending a wind. And I want to set my sail to that. It takes the work of the volition, and I set my sail to the wind of the Holy Spirit, in a sense, and I allow Him to carry me into my life with God. Right? And this isn't, and the beautiful thing about this is that it is my life. Right? It's not this isolated thing that I do. It's not like a practice that is set aside from the common part of my life. I say, I've got to go to work. I get my devotional. I say, okay, thank you, Word of God. I'm going to leave you now, and I'm going to go to my day. But instead, we have it, like Deuteronomy talks about it, putting it on the doorposts and on the frontlets, right? And like writing it on the Proverbs chapter 6, having it about your neck, right, around your neck. When you walk, it will go with you. When you wake, it will lead you, right? So this is the way it is. And now I approach my life with this reality. And it's life-changing for us. It gives us stability in the unstable world that we live in. We need it. And remember, against such there is no law. And people would be like, oh, you're a Christian, you're not allowed to do this. You'd be like, listen, bud, I'm allowed to do anything. Right? Just so you know that. I can do anything I want. Right? I can do anything I want. But my decision not to do things is not out of weakness. It's not out of me being afraid of that thing. But instead, it's out of honor to God. And it's out of power. The authority that He has put in my life, that I don't have to do that. They're going to say to somebody, you have to do that. You have to do that. Your whole identity is tied up in that. And if you don't do that, then you don't know what to do. But me, I have freedom from the things. And I am free to walk with God. I don't have to do anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is the life that we, like the victory we are looking for in our lives, that we would be walking with God, we would be quickened, we would be empowered, we would have victory, right? Not victims, but instead victory in Christ. So, amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for giving us these promises. Thank you for writing it so clearly in your word, who we are and how you minister to us and how you lead us. And Lord, we want to give you our lives, God. You've saved us. You've delivered us. But we give you our lives, our time, our money, our families, our work. Lord, lead us in it. We're yours, God. Bless this week, Lord. Pray for all the things that you've put in our hearts and in our hands and in our life. Lord, pray for people at work. Pray for people who are struggling with some conflict at work. Pray for families. Pray for people who maybe are lonely. Lord, that you would minister to them. You would encourage them. You would draw them into the body of Christ, Lord. Thank you. Help us. Help us, Lord. We do things imperfectly. We need you so much. We just ask that you would help us and lead us in the plans of the church, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Any questions or comments?